ago, I was chatting with an Indian pastor, and when he heard my surname, he was able to tell me immediately the region of India that that surname came from, and therefore where Paul's family originated from. And he was able to also describe some surprisingly accurate character traits of people that come from that particular region. Sometimes you can tell a lot about a person by their name. And when our Jess was born, we were going to call her Kira. But when she arrived, and she had not a lot of hair, but what she had was absolutely white blonde, there was no way we could call her Kira, which meant raven-haired one. And so she became Jess, which she really loves because her name means God beholds, God sees, God knows. And we think it's a pretty cool name as well. In the Bible, Jewish people believed that the very essence of a person resided in their name. And so it wasn't uncommon that when God transformed somebody's life, he changed their name. So Abram became Abraham, and Jacob became Israel, and Simon became Cephas or Peter, and Saul became Paul. And just as our names are important to us, God's name is important to him. In the Ten Commandments, on the same level as not committing murder and not committing theft, God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And maybe this is because God's name describes the very essence of who he is. His name reveals his identity and his character to us. And this morning we're starting a new teaching series looking at some of the names of God. Rob, I'm so sorry, you started it last week. This morning we're continuing. Guess who also had a Sunday off last week? I'm failing miserably, but actually maybe there's an illustration that we'll find useful later on this morning. Just as Rob started off this series last week, do you know we might be able to cut that from the stream that goes out to the world? I bet we don't though. My prayer is as we continue this teaching series, actually we're going to become far more intimate with God as we get to hear his names and understand more of how his names reveal his character to us. So this morning we're going to look at Isaiah 43. And this in this passage, God calls himself El Cool. And I'm not going to make puns around that. You'll see it's spelt slightly differently to the way it's pronounced, but I'm told El Cool is the correct pronunciation. And it means the God who gave you birth. So this is what the Bible says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. These words were being spoken by Isaiah to God's chosen people, Israel. And I just want to put that into context for a moment. So we're going to dive into their history just for a couple of minutes. When God delivered Israel, his people, from slavery in Egypt, they had walked through the Red Sea following Moses, and they didn't drown. And as Moses continued to lead them, the Bible says a pillar of cloud went before them by day and a pillar of fire by night so that they had light. Water and fire were part of God's chosen people's redemption story. But at the time that Isaiah was writing to them, things had gone horribly wrong. God had warned them about keeping relationship with them, but they'd rebelled. They'd gone off the rails, doing their own thing, living their own way, paying lip service to God rather than sticking close to him. And as a consequence, they were living in exile. The Babylonians had conquered the promised land, and entire generations had grown up having never lived in the promised land. All they had were the stories of old, the memory of how fire and water had been part of their redemption story was hazy because they were battered and bruised by the storms of the life they were living in exile. They were lost and hopeless as flames of adversity threatened to consume them. They'd lost their sense of belonging. They were strangers in a foreign land. And then God speaks to them through his prophet. And he delivers the most outstanding promise. And only God has the authority to make that promise because he is the one who has given them birth. He is their maker. He is their creator. He is their designer. And he says, you were created by me. Therefore, your life has a purpose, and I am not going to let you go. For 2 years almost, we've been battered and bruised by a pandemic that still hasn't gone away. The world isn't the way it used to be before COVID was part of our everyday landscape. We've been separated from loved ones. We've not been able to celebrate weddings the way we've wanted to celebrate weddings. And we've not been able to see newborn babies as quickly as we've wanted to see newborn babies. And we've not been able to say our goodbyes properly as loved ones have died. Our working lives have been disrupted. Education is playing catch up. And so is the NHS and all sorts of other services which support our health and well-being. And no wonder, in the world that we're living in at the moment, some of us feel lost and hopeless, fearful and anxious, uncertain and unsure of the things that we perhaps once trusted in. Would you hear God's words of encouragement today, his words of assurance and his words of hope? Despite the pandemic and all of the challenges of the past almost 2 years, God has created us with a purpose, and he's going to take care of us. We belong to him. Despite our failures and despite our mistakes and all the circumstances of the world we live in, he is our creator. And he's not going to let us go. In one of the versions of the Bible, the easy to read version, Isaiah says, do not be afraid. I saved you. I named you. You are mine. When you have troubles, I am with you. We belong to God. And because he brought us into being, he will bring us through whatever it might be that we're facing. And yet how easy is it to lose sight of this banner of love over our lives? We crave the acceptance and the belonging and the purpose God promises, but we live in a broken world and we live amongst broken people. And right doesn't seem to be right anymore, and truth doesn't seem to be truth anymore. And all too often, we let the world that we live in, the world around us, speak into our lives more than hold on to the promises which come from our Creator, God. And so this morning, to help us grasp what it means for us to belong to El Cool, I want to use a children's story that's written by an American called Max Lucado, and the story's called You're Special. It's about wooden people, and they're called Wemmicks. And Wemmicks are harsh and judgmental. They go around giving out grey dot stickers to people who are lacking. Maybe their nose is too big, or they don't walk very fast, or their bodies are a bit chipped. They don't match up to the Wemmick ideal. And they also go round giving golden stickers to the people that they find lovable and beautiful and exciting. The main character in the book is a Wemmick called Punchinello, and he is covered in grey dots. After a while, he has so many grey dots, he doesn't even want to go outside anymore. And when he does, people come up and they give him a grey dot for no reason at all, other than he's just got so many grey dots covering him. And then one day, he meets Lucia, who has no dots and no stars. Punchinello doesn't understand how this could be possible, so Lucia sends him to Eli, the woodworker who created all the Wemmicks. And when Punchinello meets Eli, he's so ashamed of his grey dots. But Eli says something that changes his life. He says, "Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special." Punchinello is absolutely astounded by this, and he says to Eli, "Why on earth would you say that I'm special?" And Eli says, "Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me." And Eli goes on to explain why Lucia doesn't have any dots or any stickers on her body. He tells Punchinello she decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust in my love, the less you care about their stickers. And I find it one of the most beautiful stories. It always makes me feel incredibly emotional to think that that is how God sees me. And I think it is just amazingly freeing when we come to understand that that is how God sees us. And it is so freeing when we live our life in that truth, believing it every single day. It shows the wonder of God's love and the difference that believing and walking in his promises can make to us when we know that we belong to the one who made us El Cool. But this story also reminds us that we live in a world of Wemmicks, where people intentionally or unintentionally hand out grey dots or golden stickers according to our character, or our looks, or our income level, or our mental, or our physical health, and the way we behave. And of course, we're a bit like Wemmicks too, aren't we? We hand out grey dots and golden stickers to other people to help us feel better about ourselves, or to put other people down, to include ourselves with people that we want to be included with, and to exclude people that we don't want to be part of our life. And of course, we also give grey dots and golden stickers to ourselves as well. We're influenced by the opinions of the people around us, and in turn, we end up expressing our opinion to those around us as well. And of course, that includes the way we speak to ourselves. How easy it is to forget that the only opinion that matters is God's, because he is our creator, our maker, the one to whom we belong. God describes himself as El Cool to remind us that whatever our history or our present circumstances, whatever those look like, he has made us. He's chosen us and he's named us as his own. At the end of the story about Wemmicks, the woodworker says, "Remember, you're special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes." Punchinello thinks, "I think he really means that." And in that moment, one of the grey dot stickers falls to the ground. I wonder today whether you see yourself as a Wemmick in Max Lucado's story, desperate for golden stickers to boost your confidence whilst battling the grey dot stickers which weigh you down. I wonder this morning whether you can hear Eli's voice, "The stickers only stick if they matter to you." Can you dare to imagine what your life would look like if you believed 100% into the truth of what El Cool, God, our creator, the one who gave you birth, says about you? I wonder what difference it might make if just for 10 minutes each day you sat in the presence of your creator God, the one who gave you birth, and you allowed him to remind you how loved you are, how special you are, and how he hasn't made a mistake with you. And what would our communities look like if we stopped handing out grey stickers to ourselves and to other people? What would it look like if we stopped trying to gain golden stickers for ourselves and for other people? What a transformation would take place. We need to catch this, and we need to hold on to this, both as individuals and as a community of believers. The years of exile squashed the hope of the Jewish people that Isaiah was speaking to. And I think that years of listening to other people's opinions, comparing ourselves to other people that we deem better than ourselves, can squash the hope that God really loves us deeply, that God thinks we are so wonderfully special. And God hasn't made a mistake. Isaiah spoke tenderly to God's people. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And I believe that many of us this morning need not only to hear those words, but to receive those words, to take them in, to reflect on them, to believe in them, to own them, and to walk in them. So we're going to pray. And if anybody would like us to pray with you at the end of the service, I'd just encourage you to kind of move maybe to the front and we can pray for you then. But let's own this at the very early part of 2022. Let's pray. Lord God, we walk around with grey dots. We walk around with the things that we have been told about who we are. Lord, the things that remind us that we fail you and we fail one another. Lord, we walk around with beliefs about ourselves that are in complete contrast to the way you, our Creator, see us. Lord, this morning, would you take those grey dots? Lord, would you reveal those grey dots to us? And God, might we hear today that you really love us because you created us and you don't make mistakes. Lord, this morning, might grey dots hit the ground in the truth of your word. And Lord, would you forgive us when we want to acquire golden stickers to help us feel better about ourselves, to make us look good in the eyes of others? Lord, would you forgive us when we see those that we think are beautiful and lovable and exciting, and we long to be part of that crowd rather than be willing to stand before you, Lord, and say, I'm one of your kids, teach me to follow and chase after you. God, forgive us when we listen to the opinions and we buy into the applause of the world and we lose sight of you, our Creator, our Maker, God, the one who's given us birth. So Lord, change us, transform us. Help us to walk without grey dots and golden stickers, because we believe and trust in your truth for our lives. Amen.